Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 181 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And just you and I again this week, Ben. Kenny is sort of finishing up his uni work. I believe he's getting close to the end of his degree, so he's got a few things to take care of. But you and I, you know, don't need no education. So we're here to talk to you about basketball video games. Kenny should be hopefully joining us next week or in the near future. Get the three-man band back together. But in the meantime, it is the dynamic duo again that's done more NLSC podcasts than any other duo in the history of the podcast. mainly, I guess, because two of us have gone on to jobs at Visual Concepts and others have uni work to do. So it's we are the constants. What can I say, Ben?
That's true. We're the ones who reign supreme.
The ones who took it to the next level. I know how much Webfirst loves us pointing that out. but yes, we are here. We are coming at you a little later this week. We did want to record last night. So we're actually recording this Friday night, Australian time. Normally we record late Thursday night, put it out in the early hours of Friday morning or late Thursday night. But this is a weekend edition of the NLSC podcast, just a one-off this week. We sort of got on last night and we were a bit tired and not really feeling up to a record. So we thank you for bearing with us. Thank you for a couple of people sending along topic suggestions and whatnot. Need to start putting out those reminders again, especially as we're past the news season. Want to make sure we're talking about the things that you want to hear about, and we do have a few topics, as I said, on the docket to talk about today. So it's Bit different, a Friday night record, Ben.
Yeah, I think we've done it a few times before. Only in, obviously, extreme circumstances, or, you know, if someone had something we wanted at least to have the three people on, so...
Yeah. We change it around sometimes. We like to be consistent. We're yet to miss a week this year, Ben. All our features have gone every single week, so we've got some good streaks going. You know how I like my streaks.
Yeah.
Broken streaks. But yes, we do have a new show for you, obviously, this week, and want to tip things off with a little bit of news. And speaking of things tipping off, there's a new NBA 2K esports tournament tipping off with the Community Cup Europe. I just saw that notification come up in my events on the PlayStation Network when I logged in shortly before we started recording, Ben. And obviously, 2K got into esports earlier this year with the Road to the Finals tournament with 2K Pro-Am.
Yeah,
right to the finals. So obviously they're doing more of that stuff, and it's going global, I guess. But, you know, it's funny that it pops up here, the Euro Cup, the European Community Cup here. Nothing about the Australian Open, I suppose. an Australian Cup for 2K at this point. Not really expanding here yet, I'm guessing. But in any event, just taking a quick look. Community Cup is, let's see, date and time, 28th the 10th. So you've got to get your registration in by the 28th of October, which is a week's time. And then check in. There's another one on the 31st, looking at the calendar there. So, yeah, it is kind of cool that 2K is getting into esports, as we discussed. Actually, I think the very first episode of 2016, episode 140, was when we discussed them getting into esports. Because that was when they announced it over the holiday break.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
So it's obviously tipping off again. I mean, I guess it doesn't really affect you and I personally, since there's no Australian division, at least so it seems. But yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I look at our record in 2K Pro-Am and I think, you know, we have some fun, but perhaps we're not ready for elite competition just yet.
We're just waiting to get to the... We're just ready for the elite tier that we want to get to.
Yeah, that's right. And that's a whole thing, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, it is cool to see NBA 2K in there with esports. Obviously, it is an electronic version of a sport, quite literally. So, not to take anything away from the fighting game tournaments and anything like that, but obviously, being the premier basketball video game on the market right now, it would only make sense that it's there for esports. Absolutely. Have you watched any of the tournaments at all? I must confess, I haven't.
No.
not your thing to watch. You'd rather play.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Well, you know, a lot of people this generation then watch other people play. You know, the Let's Plays and everything, it's...
almost voyeuristic.
South Park did an episode about it, you know, the whole people who, you know, they get together to game, but they get together to watch other people play games, you know, That was the joke they did. And I mean, I sometimes do like to watch gameplay footage and such on YouTube if and check out things. But yeah, I like to have the controller in my hands and actually play the game. So I think I might stick to playing 2K Pro-Am than watching others. But I guess we get some tips every now and again. It'd be maybe less frustrations at times.
Well, I'm happy as a casual gamer in that terms of the sense, like not in that competitive sense. Like even when I play club basketball and stuff now, it's more just having a bit of fun with it as opposed to serious competition side of it now. So kind of.
Although we do get pretty fired up playing Pro-Am sometimes.
Oh
We have to
yeah.
admit that. We don't record that because it gets kind of blue, but kind of very blue at times, but
It'd be much like a Jerry Springer episode where it's like all bleeped out.
and I just don't want to do the post-production work on that, so that's why we don't do any live streaming or anything of that stuff, because yeah, it's
Although it could serve a good purpose if you're able to demonstrate some things and to certain like
to the
stuff
development team,
develop.
yeah,
Yeah,
I guess,
you
yeah.
know. So, I mean, yeah, we could sort of explain, not in a like this is not to be like in a negative critical sense, but we can point out that this is an area where, if a mistake or a glitch does happen, kind of thing, or something that sort of seems like a flaw maybe in a logic side of things, like why would CPU option or why would this sort of thing happen? It's like we could send that and have that open, hopefully an open discussion and sort of
Oh yeah,
so that's trying where I was trying to go with
I
all
mean
this.
illustrating the problems is definitely better than explaining it sometimes, saying this is what it
Yeah.
is and recording some commentary over footage or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably should do more of, I guess. But anyway, it is cool to see the esports. Maybe not really our thing, but nevertheless, a lot of people get into it. We saw how well the Road to the Finals tournament did, especially when there's big cash prizes. I suppose people do get very into it as well, understandably so. And a trip to the finals, of course, in the case of the tour. So the other big news coming out of, well, today, I suppose, when we're recording this, is the announcement of the Nintendo Switch. And that is the console that has been, what's the word that I'm looking for?
The code name
It was
was
codenamed, that's
NX.
right, codenamed Nintendo NX. And it turns out that it's basically kind of like a hybrid portable and console. They're marketing it as a console rather than a portable, but it can be both portable and put into a dock to be played on a TV, much like a traditional Nintendo console, or PlayStation, or Xbox, or Atari 2600, for that matter. If we want to go in
It's
television, we want to go right back in history of console gaming. ColecoVision.
ColecoVision.
So it's a hybrid, hybrid portable home video console, and it looks like it's going to have some. It's going to run on game cards similar to the old cartridges, so not optical media or digital only. And specs haven't really been. Apart from that, specs haven't been released yet, but it does mention there's it does appear there's going to be more third-party support, including 2K Sports in the form of NBA 2K7. So there will be a port of NBA 2K7, NBA 2K7, NBA 2K17.
I was about to correct you on that.
I did that the other day when I was typing an article as well. NBA kept writing NBA 2K7, then I wrote NBA 2K167. So yeah, NBA 2K17, or maybe that's a pot shot at Nintendo's graphics these days. I don't know. Maybe that's a Freudian slip there. But no, NBA 2K17 is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Formerly codenamed the Nintendo NX, of course. Without knowing the specs, it's hard to say what it's going to be. There's footage of it, and it kind of looked pretty much the same, I believe, as the PS4 version.
It was hard to see from the video because it was just in the initial trailer, but it looked decent enough. Couldn't tell if it was obviously because it was just running on the I suppose the portable screen and that, so like the tablet side of it. So again, couldn't tell how high detail from the actual trailer video of the unveiling of the console and
I'm
that.
just seeing here, exact specifications have not been officially announced, but Nvidia confirmed that the Switch uses a system on chip from its Nvidia Tegra family products. No specific details were revealed beyond that it is based on the same architecture as the world's top performing GeForce gaming graphics cards. So obviously they are going for some grunt with the hardware. So one imagines that it's not going to look like NBA 2K7. We assume. So, and that is interesting because a lot of third parties have gone away from Nintendo the last couple of generations. I know Live had a couple of games on the Wii, and 2K was it 2K12, 2K13 on the Wii U, and then kind of moved away from it very quickly. So, you know, obviously getting this the AAA sports titles there on Nintendo, that's pretty big for the console. I mean, I go back to, as a Nintendo fanboy from the 90s, so there's part of me that thinks, oh, you know, that'd be cool to get that and, you know, be able to play new Mario and new Zelda games. And of course, they got in this digital store, they do have the older games as well, having those emulated, etc. You know, whether I'd like to do that instead of having to pull out all my old consoles when I want to play a game. But I mean, I can really only afford one console per generation, and I've already gone with PS4, and I can't really justify the, you know, hey, if I win the lottery, I'm getting it. Why not?
Yeah.
And an Xbox One and a second gaming PC and a laptop, and, you know, if I win millions of dollars, hey, why not? I'll have a PC in every room. Network. I can't be bothered going to the all those stairs, and that's the thing, I don't have stairs. So that's even sadder. But yeah, I mean, personally, it's interesting to see, and obviously I have that affection for Nintendo going back to the 90s as the Nintendo fanboy growing up, laughing at all the fan art of Sonic the Hedgehog getting roasted in the official Nintendo magazines. But yeah, I don't think I'll end up getting it myself. But it is interesting to see that the 2K is one of the first third-party titles, along with Skyrim from Bethesda. And so EA is apparently also on board with that, so maybe Live will get there as well, or FIFA or some of their other sports titles. Take-Two, naturally, Ubisoft, Bethesda, so maybe you get the Fallout. Well, Fallout may be a bit too adult for the to get the console. Depends how family-friendly Nintendo is going to be. But yeah, so that's it's kind of interesting to note.
Yeah, and I mean, I've looked at like the whole NS thing and all the NX / Switch thing. There's some really cool things about it. But yeah, like you said, you know, I've got a main console. In a way, I kind of feel like I've outgrown Nintendo's games, like I've outgrown Mario and stuff like that.
Mamma mia!
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of cool, like, for travel sense.
Yes.
Like, taking it. But then the whole, I suppose that it would have to have a charging dock element without the attached, when you sort of connect it to the TV, there's like a dock part. So obviously that part you wouldn't have to take with you. Hopefully you can just still use like the normal sort of like, maybe like a USB charge kind of thing, like your phone and all that with it. Or maybe like a laptop-y kind of charge thing. So
you wouldn't want it to be like the old Game Boys that just chew through the batteries.
And that'd be a concern too. Is like how much playtime we actually get with it before you have to recharge. So yeah, maybe if they release a little bit more information on specs and pricing and all that stuff, you know, it might be something to consider later on, kind of thing. And obviously, give it a bit of time to sort of see if you know, what games do come out of it and how they run and all that stuff. But yeah, at the moment, short term, some elements are cool, but wouldn't be enough for me to purchase it in a sense at this stage. So yeah, but good to see the support coming back for it. You know, it'd be sad to see Nintendo fall out of the gaming scene. You know, given that they are as big as they are and have been around as long as they have. I mean, we saw it was sad when Sega went out. You know.
Yeah, so, well, like I said, that was the big rivalry
in
the 90s, Sega versus Nintendo, and I was on the Nintendo fanboy side of things. But yeah, you know, they were very popular and competing with Nintendo at one stage, and Sonic was a huge mascot, and it's kind of, you know, now he's in Nintendo games. So yeah. That's, I guess, says it all. But you know, I guess it goes back to something that the Kenny said a few podcasts ago, is that you're never sort of too big to fail, really. You know, it's a couple of bad decisions or questionable decisions, and whether, because Nintendo has done some great things with its as far as revolutionizing controls and everything, but not everyone's a fan of motion controls, and some people do want the third-party titles, and they want the titles that really make use of a lot of grunt in the consoles, or the PC gaming, of course. So, and then, of course, you've got those who like the indie titles or the Nintendo stuff. But so whether you want to appeal to a niche, or whether you want to appeal to a niche, or sort of all gamers, or hardcore gamers, it's what it comes down to. But I guess we'll probably cover it a little bit, as much as we can, since if neither of us are getting a Nintendo Switch, it makes it hard to really do any content on it. But if there's any interesting news out there, we'll surely talk about it, put out a couple bulletin or two. But yeah, that was interesting news to come out of the Nintendo Switch announcement, and finally we know it's not the NX, it is the Switch. So,
I mean, I like the name more than Wii U name.
The Wii was originally Project Revolution, wasn't it?
Yeah, Revolution, and then when they changed it, I mean, yes, I can understand it. You know, it was about Wii being as in like a group of people like you, me, and all that kind of thing. But yeah, it was kind of like a childish name, and it became like a kiddie tea joke in a sense.
It wasn't as cool as Revolution, I suppose. But then Nintendo had 360, and that was the Revolution, so.
Yeah,
you know, I guess out of that. But in any case, that is the news with Nintendo. And one more item before we get to our week in Busable Gaming, I believe. We asked if we could talk a little bit about some recent modding for the older games. We've been talking a little about the developments for NBA 2K17, not NBA 2K7. And they continue. A lot of people still doing some great work there. TBM, Peaceman, Knot, D4-3, all those guys. Doing some great stuff, and the tutorials as well. So, you know, once again, great job, guys, and please keep all that stuff coming, both the releases and the tutorials. But we do have some people making some good stuff for the older games as well. And, you know, I obviously have a great affection for around about the NBA Live 2005, NBA Live 06, 07 and 08 I'm not as fond of on PC. But still some great work being done with those games. Just see if I can bring up some of the recent releases for those. Of course, Book Gazette is making a lot of the rosters for NBA Live 08 these days, and there's some great rookie faces coming through. Let me see, I just want to... Esprat hasn't been as active lately. Job and family is keeping him occupied these days, and we'll wish him the best with that, but he drops in every now and again. Let's see who else has been doing. Mervy16 has been doing some fine work. I know he's still active in the NBA Live 08 scene. NBA Player Bullet has just released some rookie portraits and jersey updates for the Kings. MagicianGirl06 has been doing some great work with the courts for NBA Live 06. And of course, they're compatible with NBA Live 2005, 07, and 08 as well, Ben. And I'll just send through the screenshot of what MagicianGirl06 did, but that's the Gatorade practice gym from NBA 2K, and that's pretty, if you can see from the screenshot, that's pretty well remade in NBA Live 06.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on there. Good effort.
And yeah, I mean, basically, there's only so much you can do with the walls. You can do a bit more 3D advanced editing, and I know that Jasming has a tutorial that's still available in the download section for a lot of the 3D editing, but as you can see, the ball rack has been placed at the three-point line as well. You can't actually pick the balls up off the rack, but it's just an aesthetic feature. But it's pretty cool.
That's almost like in Pro-Am.
Well, yeah, it's pretty hard to do that sometimes.
Well, in your practice gym, actually, yeah.
Just grabbing at it blindly, yeah. But the practice racks are there, which makes it pretty cool. And obstacles to dribble around, of course. Set up some cones on the court or maybe something. But that's used using the one texture technique, which was, I think, originally pioneered for 2K, but can also apparently be used with Live, being put to great use there as far as putting those textures on the court and the key at the side for the side hoops as well. So yeah. That's really cool how it's done. And MagicianGirl06 has been doing a lot of great stuff with that, bringing the Under Armour court from NBA Live 14, I believe, into the game, as well as doing some NBA team updates, doing these special practice courts and everything. I've dabbled with practice courts. I still want to do a Fallout themed one at some point with Brotherhood of Steel logo and everything. But they've definitely passed what I've been able to do with practice courts, And it's really, yeah, some really great work there, and it's sort of right up there, you know, with some of the stuff that Andrea Stahl was doing with the next gen practice courts and everything. Just seeing these really detailed special courts getting into the game, it's quite cool to see.
That was a great court.
It is, yeah. Also still available in our download section for NBA Live. But, every so often I feel like getting into some live modding, and I did do the logo updates earlier this year, and when the Kings logo came out, did that as well, the new Kings logo. Who else changed their logo this offseason? Oh, the Jazz.
Yep. And technically, well, this season will be the Detroit Pistons as well.
They haven't unveiled it yet, though. They haven't officially changed it yet.
Well, yeah, it just hasn't, like, they've kind of leaked it, but they're kind of denying it. So, I don't know, it's like a weird unveiling, and it's like, just show the damn thing.
Seven days away from the season, maybe they haven't, are they officially going with it this year, or?
Yeah, because it seems to be all part of their sort of rebranding process. But yeah, it's just basically their old one from between the Isaiah Thomas days.
Yeah,
and all that.
I saw the leak one. I'm looking at the sports logos net, and they're still listing the one they've been using since 2006.
Yeah.
So I guess they're going to debut it part of the way through the season. Did the Hawks do that? Or the Bullets? No, the Bullets. The Wizards did that, unveiling a new logo in the playoffs last year.
Unless they're strangely going to do it like day one of the season or something like that.
But you'd think that they'd want to get the merch out the door. During the preseason, the off season, so maybe it's going to be announced during the season, and it's going to be next year. I don't know, but that is coming anyway. I've done the logo updates for the Jazz and the Kings. That's out there. So I still like to dabble with some old live stuff. You've done some of the screens, and you've done some
loading screen, title screens, yeah.
The player apparel in the dunk contest as well. You did in the recent years, so
yeah.
We like to dabble sometimes, polish off the old games and dust off our skills.
Yeah, you know, it's been good fun every now and then. So, but yeah, it's just getting to the stage where I was like so committed to doing all the stuff that I was doing. I was more focusing on that than I was like either looking for work or working. So it was like kind of like a bad habit to be.
You got to juggle real life, absolutely, which is one of the reasons I don't do roster updates anymore. Every so often I think, oh man, I kind of miss doing them. And then I think, oh, there's a lot of work to them. So I kind of don't. But fortunately, other people have taken up the slack. It is fun to bring old games up to date, so absolutely encourage people, you know, not just to update the new games, definitely do that, of course, and do great stuff with 2K17, but if you do want to continue to update the old games like Live, still some fine updates being made for 2K13, 2K14, Skodam doing the rosters, UBR, the Ultimate Base Roster hasn't been updated for a while, but other people doing some great stuff. Medivan X has been doing the FIBA updates for 2K14, so still lots of stuff being done for the older games, and that's cool. Breathing new life into the old games, I'm all for that. We'll always support that in the community, even though we are trying to move forward. Always will support the retro modding as well as retro gaming, because that is definitely a lot of fun. So moving on now, that's about all we have for the news this week and the topics that have been suggested. Once again, thank you for that, and I will try and post those reminders a little bit earlier in the week and more consistently in the future. Of course, if you have anything you'd like us to talk about in upcoming episodes, by all means hit us up, even if I don't put out the call for it, it's a standing invitation to send us some topic suggestions. During the preview season, when it heats up, we usually have plenty to talk about, but during these times, you know, definitely want to hear about the topics that you want us to hear us talk about, because it's not always a lot of news week to week. But we do always play our basketball video games, or at least, Ben, when yours is working, you do. We covered that last week, but it is time to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Puts it down! What a play!
Oh, that's a sweet finish right there.
And you know, Ben, we've actually had a pretty good run in 2K Pro-Am this week.
Yeah, Saturday wasn't... It was Friday?
Last Friday was tough. Last Friday's session was tough. I don't think we got a win, it certainly was more losing than winning.
We didn't get a win at all that night, and we were like, oh, are we ever going to make it to that 20 to see if we...
That's right, we did, yeah. We didn't get it, we were stuck on the 18 wins.
Because we were wanting to see if it was 20 wins where you get to the elite level, but yeah.
Because we have seen teams get to elite around about that level. So you Kenny and I got on Monday night to play some games, and I think we lost the first one and then won the next three, was it?
Yeah, we lost the first one and then won three. So that was good. I think it was only one that we lost because it just took a long time between games at one stage.
Yeah, it might have been one or two that we lost to begin with in the end of the night on a really strong three-game run. And so I didn't have a call out with my with a customer until 1 o'clock the next day, so I was able to sleep in. So we went late into the morning that night, Tuesday morning, I suppose. And they were all kind of clutch wins as well, like right down to the wire, and comeback wins in some cases. The first one? Kenny hit the game winner.
Yeah.
He hit the game winner. Some strange numbers. You and Kenny were having some really good scoring nights, which was cool, and I was able to rack up the assists as well, at least in the first two games. In the first game, I couldn't hit anything, so I had 2 points and 18 assists. So that, I think that's my most in regulation, because I had 19 assists in the double overtime game, 29 and 19, but I couldn't hit a shot in that first win. But you and Kenny were feeling it, so I was dishing to you more than looking for my own terrible shot, that particular one, and managed to get the... my 18th assist on that three-pointer. Solid last play, I thought, when we ran that and ran the clock down and flipped it over to Kenny for the corner three. Green release, swish, and so we got, it was with 0.4 seconds left, not a lot of time for them to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got that one, and that was a good way to get that first win of the night for 19 wins initially.
Yeah, and... I got it like a steal, under the 20-second mark, and that really helped us because then we got a fast break score, which basically put us, from memory, level with them.
Absolutely.
So it was without that little sort of steal, sort of fast break play, and that we wouldn't have had a chance to come back in that. So
the three of us played well as a three man unit, I thought, and we weren't screwed over too badly by the AI in those ones. So that's always nice. the second one was another was against the same team, wasn't it?
Yeah, the wasn't
Flexecution.
Flexecution, that's the one.
Flexecution, yeah. And we fell behind. We thought, we just beat them, so we played them again and we fell behind, but managed the comeback win. And I think that was the one where I sealed it. I had the go ahead basket in the last in the final minute, because it said go ahead basket in the final minute. That was the accolade.
I think we won that one by five.
We did, because they kept fouling me, and I managed to make the free throws despite the nasty timeout bug. So
yeah.
I was happy with that. That brought my free throw percent up a little bit. And so I had a double-double in that one, so I was happy with that. And then I had a really weird game in the third game that we won. I had 18 points and 2 assists, and it's very rare that I only have 2 assists and 18 points, because I'm usually looking to pass instead of score. But so I had the 2-point, 18-assist game, and the 18-point, 2-assist game to bookend the three wins. So, yeah, it was weird.
We've had a few nights where very rarely we don't have our usual games and that. So it's like a little throw off sort of thing. Like there'll be a game where Leo will get multiple assists, and it'll be a game where I'll get like a few assists or a few rebounds or something, or we'll have a really poor shooting night or something like that. And yeah,
the one that I had the double double, I think we all had over 5 assists in that one. Because we were sharing the ball, and it was kind of all break up assists, and then I got about 5 assists in the last quarter to make it a double double, which I was pleased with. So I'm trying to do this year, get my scoring up over 10 and my assists up over 10, so I can average a double double. 8.8 at the moment, 8.7 points per game, 8.4 assists per game. So getting there. But then we played on Wednesday night, was it as well? Just you, Kenny, and I again.
Yeah.
And we got a couple more wins, so a couple more. I think a loss or two, but. But
It was one loss, two or three wins, and I think X joined us as well. That one,
X did join us for a couple of games, and I think we played one more. When he had to go, and we did manage to eke out that victory as well.
Yep.
That was against Decepticons. So we are up to the 23 wins now. Unfortunately, it's the 35 losses that's holding us back from the elite tier. And you found some information. Through Reddit, I think you hit up John, and he was able to find some information for us.
Yeah, it looks like you sort of got to get a really good winning percentage over as opposed to your losses in that. So, yeah, it's sort of different to what we thought it was and all that. So we got a lot of work to do to try and get to that next level by the looks of it.
And I understand what they're going for there. Like, okay, you're an elite team. You're winning a lot of games. Got a great winning percentage, as elite teams in the real NBA do. So it makes sense from that point of view. But since you have to level up to get all the good stuff about logo importing and everything, you know, to get the winning percentage again, do we, now that we are playing better as a team, does that mean we have to start a new team and start over to try and get a better winning percentage? You know, can we recover from this? You know, it's kind of... I think it highlights the problem with the approach this year of making customization, putting it behind having to level up.
Yeah. So, I don't know, not a fan of it. Yeah, I can see what they were going for, but still. For the whole allure thing that they used for last year.
Customization, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole thing that they hit first on. They announced 2K Pro-Am before Live was able to announce their Live Pro-Am. And I know Live didn't copy them because I was at the community event seeing Pro-Am in the menus when 2K announced theirs. So, I mean, it's either coincidence or something sinister going on. I don't know. But Live definitely had the Pro-Am name as well, you know, at the same time or before 2K did. And the whole thing was 2K came out with all the customization features. That was the big thing, as you said, that they pushed when they announced that last year. And to, you know, I think the way you put it in previous podcasts, you know, giving us a taste and then, you know, pulling it away.
Yeah, the first try is free, and then
first one's free, and then, that's how they get you.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's unfortunate, but I do hope that they reconsider that. I think it was a mistake. I don't think it shows a lot of goodwill. I guess the best thing you can say about it is it doesn't cost VC to do. You know, that's well, more goodwill than they've shown in other areas of the game. Of course, they
kind of technically to level up to get to the stages to get in a good enough position to win.
I suppose, yeah, good point. And of course, it does take ages. You know, I think I got 7 VC for a performance the other night, but it was 7 on stats. If I hadn't got a good teammate grade or we hadn't won the game, it would have been absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
What's your lowest again? Was it 4?
In total, including from stats to like final reward, I think it was 17, and I had 18 the other day. So yeah, and that's the full stats for completing the game and a loss and all that stuff. So yeah,
brutal.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point of even playing?
I mean, yeah, if we hadn't leveled up through my career, which I suppose is the idea, and paid for some VC, which is obviously, I think, part of the goal of this whole approach, yeah, we'd be really struggling. I think we'd be having even more problems. But it's sort of I think we're getting to that point where we're starting to get pretty good as a team again and getting used to the game mechanics and the online, the way the mechanics work online and everything. You know, we still have those moments of frustration, you know, getting blocked when it feels like the defender really shouldn't have been able to recover and you get blocked, or you miss a layup that really should have gone in, or a good, you know, release on the shot. But it's, you know, I think I made the joke to you last night. It's sometimes 2K Pro-Am is like dating. You know, there's rejection and moments of disappointment, but the fun times keep you coming back. there's still that desire to put yourself out there and get involved, despite the harsher moments of the whole proceedings. But dark comparisons to dating aside, I am whenever you have a couple of good sessions of Pro-Am, it really does restore your faith in the mode, I guess, and build your enthusiasm back up after a couple of bad ones. Be like, oh, why are we bothering? Because we have had a couple of those this year.
Yeah, it's like to quote Shakespeare, to maketh or taketh away.
Yes. Ooh, I've dropped Mark Twain in the podcast, you've dropped some Shakespeare. That's you know, we need to find out what other references we can get in there.
Yeah. See, we've classed it up a bit.
We have, you know, we're not just profanity and fart jokes. I mean, we are, but not just. So
there's an extra layer to us.
Yeah, we're like ogres or onions. We have many layers. To make a very old Shrek reference. So so looking forward to actually, this is going out on the Saturday Australian time. We are recording this the Friday night, so I know the guys are on. So when we finish recording this, we'll be playing this week's session, which we'll be talking about next week, of course. Looking forward to hopefully this session being as good as the last two, actually.
I'm hoping so.
We'll have to keep sharing the ball, racking up those assists, and getting those points. But looking forward to that. Obviously, we'll keep you informed with this, with more stories, and check out the 2K17 section of the forum. I'll be posting Kenny's videos in the NLSC 2K Pro-Am thread. He's put up more complete game highlights. I've retweeted those from the official NLSC account at the NLSC if you want to follow us on Twitter. And you can check out those highlights on his YouTube channel, of course, and check them out in the forum as I post them. Anything else happening with your week in basketball gaming, Ben? I haven't actually played any of my career except to be doing work.
I've just played a couple of games. I was on a 26-27 game win streak still.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was really good. In especially, I think one of the last times we were about to play Prime and that, I forgot that I quit a game early in that sense, but you know how it sort of saves it, so you come back to it.
Oh, yes, yes.
And it was against the Warriors and that, and I really wanted to keep the streak alive, so I did not want to sim it.
No, no.
So, yeah, I played through it and that, so, yeah, it was definitely good to continue that game. Up to the stage of the girlfriend part of the storyline in terms of things, and yeah,
well, if you're dating, you're definitely going to have to spend some VC, surely.
Virtual dates.
Yeah. Yeah, 2K, please don't make it a creepy dating simulator on top of everything else. You know, we really leave it to that genre, please. We don't need that. But yeah, so I do want to play some more games. I managed to get to 89 through doing work. Sort of gets to that point where, you know, I'm getting really lazy with the optional practices, I have to admit. So,
yeah, it's starting to wear thin, and a couple of them, you know, if there's an opportunity to go to like a sponsor event sort of thing to get, you know, the VC fans and stuff, I'll do that as opposed to it, or even hang out with like players when they want to do something. Because yeah, I mean, I'm getting pretty close to a 95 rating anyway now. I'm 91, nearly a 92, so it's not too much more grinding I can do unless I go to the park, I think it is, and I don't really want to at this stage, so.
Which should be sufficient ratings once you get over 90. I mean, it's.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah.
You know, I got to go to a musical with Allen Iverson. That was a cool hangouts, I guess. So.
I've done bowling with Carl Anthony Towns. I've done.
Not Andrew Bynum.
No.
yeah. That'd be a depressing cameo of him in the background injuring his knee.
Yeah. And I've done gambling at casino with Draymond.
Okay.
I was kind of surprised about the gambling one. I wasn't too sure if they'd do that in a sense, like in terms of, you know, trying to. But you know, in real life, I have gambled with like Baron Davis and Jermaine O'Neal and a couple others. So yeah.
But I suppose they got VC. They had VC wages in the park and everything a couple of years ago. So yeah, I guess it's you're not really encouraging kids to gamble. It's okay, I suppose.
That's true. And yeah, I mean, it's just really a photo in the background. Oh, the other thing is having a haircut at a barber with Mello.
Oh, okay.
Did something with Kobe, and I think was it with Draymond? No, not Draymond. I mean, Drummond. I think there was someone else. Ellis Jackson. Jackson Ellis.
Jackson Ellis, yeah. I went to the Comic-Con with Jackson Ellis. Nerding that with my man, A-Train. Or at Beggs, actually.
I missed a training session because I went to a thing with Jackson Ellis. And yeah, nearly had my... Missed the team training session once. So yeah, ooh. Nearly lost my spot.
Controversial. So.
Yeah, because I didn't realize how long it was going to go. I thought, you know, it was like a 1 or 2 hour thing. I thought, yeah, it should be okay, because it doesn't really tell how long it's going to go for. Not in this case. It didn't.
Weird.
And I was like it just tell you the time it started, but it didn't really say the time it finished.
Didn't have the end time. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay, and yeah, it ended up being like a most of the day event, and I think that was doing golf. Yeah, golf with
right.
So that's probably why it took so while, because golf is such a
absolutely spin. Yeah. So yeah, so got to keep an eye on those calendar events and
yep.
I know they've fixed up a couple of those with patches.
Yeah,
not showing up and everything and going at the same time, and you used to get penalized for not attending team practice when you were injured, which was kind of cruel. So
yeah,
they have fixed that in. I think that was patch 103. They fixed that, so that's good, obviously. Yeah, I've you know had my 2K appearance at the 2K Studios, looking very angry next to Ronnie, as you know.
Yeah,
screenshot. Looking forward to getting my interview because I want to Photoshop John's player in there. Standing next to him on the court, just in the background. But yeah, more fun times in my career. I do want to play a few more games. Kind of want to. It's getting close to the start of the season, so I guess I'll be starting my league soon, probably.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad time to get into that. So
probably opening night, I'll save some opening night rosters and go from there. Probably still with the Bulls. I don't think I'll go with the 76ers, especially if it's accurate to injuries with Simmons being out, unfortunately. But we'll see. But I'm intrigued by the Bulls this year. But then maybe I might end up doing an expansion team. A lot of people seem to be having fun with that. I think that's going to be a very popular option as the year rolls on, people doing expansion, my leagues and my GMs.
Yeah, well, I still would have liked to have done some of the ideas that we had. You know,
My League Online, yeah. Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
It would have been, but you know, at the same time, I do think that what we're doing with Pro-Am is still fun. You know,
Once
we got over the hump of it not being able to do anything. And
yep.
It's actually been pretty smooth. I will give it that. The last few sessions, I know there's been some quirks and with the shooting meter and everything, but generally movement is not stiff. After patch 103, I didn't think I was going to be able to play 2K Pro-Am because it was just so incredibly stiff
and
jerky, but it might have just been some server issues that week because it has been pretty good since. I'll give it that.
And I think that was kind of like the day when the patch came out. So, you know, people were still probably like downloading the 7 gig patch. So
probably, yeah.
And it probably didn't help.
The 69 meg patch on PC. So
yeah.
I'd really like to know what's going on there. I think it must be a console issue that they've got to, like you said, replace a certain amount of files so there's no corruption. Whereas PC, goes to the PC Master Race thing, doesn't it? With the patching, but. There you go. So, as we said, as soon as we finished recording here, pretty much, in fact, once we finish recording, we'll be joining the guys for some more Pro-Am. Stay tuned for more stories, hopefully some more wins on the way for the NLSC Thrill Ho. You changed the name for us last week, Ben, so we...
Yep.
You know, Mo's been really fun, and all we've done is enter our name, Thrill Ho.
Yeah.
So, I know Leo's not a huge fan of the name, but it'll grow on you. It'll grow on you, man.
Just understand the context of it and how hilarious it is. So, yeah.
I mean, Simpsons reference, you can't go wrong. Absolutely. So, before we wrap up, got a few topics about real basketball this week, both NBA and WNBA, in fact, to touch on very quickly. But an interesting rumor making the rounds at the moment, Ben, you pointed this out, I think on Wednesday when we were chatting. Well, we were playing 2K Pro-Am, but there's talk of the Spurs trading LaMarcus Aldridge. And Jackie McMullen, who I think covers the Boston teams and is also on ESPN. She's, of course, been on Around the Horn. I think she's actually won more Around the Horn shows than anyone else, or she's up there. But she has some interesting remarks about the situation, saying that there's some stuff going on with Aldridge that is possibly pushing towards a deal being done. The Spurs themselves are denying it because that's kind of the way the Spurs work. You know, they don't really leak information, which is why people are very skeptical about the rumors. But other people are speculating that if they're not really in championship contention, you know, midway through the season, that it might actually still happen. Talk that he's not happy about playing second fiddle to Kawhi Leonard. Again, all rumors. And with the way the Spurs operate, you do wonder whether it's just somebody outside the organization making it up. But I don't think someone like Jackie McMullen would make up a rumor just for notoriety. I mean, she's a Hall of Fame writer. I forget which Hall of Fame. Some journalist, you know. But she's a distinguished and notable writer. She's not just some unknown beat writer trying to make...
YouTube clicks or
make a name for herself. And of course, well, I know, you know, Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, you know, they're well-known names too, and their credibility is questioned as well. But, you know, a lot of people are talking about Jackie McMullen as if she's a nobody, and she is well-known and respected journalist. So, you know, it's not just, again, some random beat writer trying to make a name for themselves. One of the articles I read put it as, you know, that there's definitely smoke, if not fire, to coin the old phrase. I'm skeptical, but maybe there's something to it. I mean, there's a few people talking about it and something happening with Aldridge. Maybe he's not happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation. Like, I hope it's not true. I mean, given the effort and all that stuff, and given that, you know, Texas is Aldridge's hometown and that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a bit surprised. I did make the joke when we were playing, when Zivy ended up back in Portland... How awkward would that be?
That'd be pretty awkward, yeah.
But yeah, pretty funny at the same time, but yeah.
Well, Boston's being talked about as a destination.
Yeah.
They just got a Horford, of course. They want to. But I mean, if the whole situation is him not being the man, is he going to be happy in Boston? So, you know, I think he had a pretty good season last year for the Spurs after spending the first decade or so of his career with the Blazers. So, you know, and now Duncan is retired, so he's, you know, even further up in the pecking order, I guess. Gasol is there now, too. But I think he's got a pretty good thing going in San Antonio, so it is surprising to hear. But, you know, maybe it is something that's been blown out of proportion. You know, we don't know, but it is interesting that some credible journalists are talking about issues. You know, it at least makes you wonder what's going on and think maybe something is.
Yeah, hopefully it's just a bad article and that, but you know, just a
misunderstanding. Or...
Yeah.
Unless, of course, he can end up in Chicago, which they could have done many years ago because they did draft him, but they traded him for Tyrus Thomas, didn't they? Thank you, Garfax. Man.
That would be just picturing Wade and Aldridge combination. That'd be pretty nice.
Wade, Aldridge, Butler, and Rondo. That Bulls would be pretty solid. I mean, it depends who they'd have to give up for him, of course. And I don't think they should give up Butler for him. Would Garfax do such a thing? Who knows? But that will be interesting to follow. Maybe, you know, maybe somebody else blowing smoke rather than there being smoke due to fire. But nevertheless, that is the rumor making the rounds at the moment. So, speaking of players that the Bulls traded away after drafting, Elton Brand is retiring. He was originally going to return for his 18th NBA season. That makes me feel old as well, because I remember him as a fresh-faced rookie, winning co-rookie of the year with Steve Francis. I'd forgotten that Steve Francis was the co-rookie of the year.
So did I.
Francis, of course, 9 years in the league and kind of fizzled after he went to the Rockets. I believe he's got a rap career going at the moment, or he did very briefly there. But in any case, Elton Brand now joining him in retirement. Came back last year with the 76ers to play that mentor role, played, I think, 30-odd games for them. As that veteran leadership and veteran voice in the locker room, was going to do it this year, but has ended up retiring. Jason Richardson did something similar with the 76ers, I think, about a year ago as well.
Like right just before the season started?
Yeah, or he was going to sign with the Hawks. Because I know he did play with the 76ers. He was with the 76ers for a while there, but I think he might have gone to Atlanta and then ended up retiring. Let me just take a look at that. Jason Richardson retirement. August 18, 2015, Richardson signed with the Atlanta Hawks. However, less than a month later, Richardson began experiencing pain in his right knee and ended up retiring. So I guess a similar situation with Brand, where he's, probably in his late 30s at this point. I'll give you an exact figure. Thank you, Wikipedia. He is 37, so, you know, 18 years in the league. Yeah, you know, he's had a pretty good career. In fact, you look at some of his numbers with the Bulls, despite the fact they were terrible. When he had the very close to an MVP season in 2006 with the Clippers, when they made the second round, the playoffs in the second round for the first time in years. I think that was the first time they got to the second round, in fact, in the playoffs. But certainly that Clippers squad kind of in the mid-2000s, when they first sort of had that taste of being a relevant team, and now, of course, the Clippers have been relevant for the last few years, sort of flipped on its head in Los Angeles with the Lakers losing so much and the Clippers actually being successful. But that was one of the first really successful Clippers teams since, I guess, the Danny Manning era in the early 90s, late 80s. But yeah, he was quite a good player, Elton Brand, and a couple of All-Star appearances. And yeah, I was, considering that Tyson Chandler never lived up to his potential in Chicago, kind of wish they'd kept Brand around for the Bulls, really.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a pretty solid career. He's kind of like Al Jefferson in a way. That's probably the way I'm, like, a similar comparison, but maybe Jefferson a little bit more solid in the long run. But yeah, he's had a distinguished career.
And arguably one of the most successful players at a Duke as well. I mean, they've had some, well, you know, Christian Laettner, of course, and Grant Hill, and Grant Hill very successful in the mid to late 90s, but as far as longevity and being on top for a while, Grant Hill's career being derailed for so many years by injuries. So Bobby Hurley was Duke as well, wasn't he?
Not sure.
Let me just take a look. Bobby Hurley, he was Duke, yeah. Of course, he was very highly touted prospect coming out in 1993 and suffered that that car accident. He's in that car accident, and his NBA career never really took off after that. But Duke, obviously, for all their success at the college level, some of the players haven't necessarily torn up the league as such. But Elton Brand's definitely one of the most successful ones there, up with Grant Hill, of course. So you know, hats off for Brand. You know, yeah, I wish the Bulls could have had him for longer, basically. So we're going to wrap up with not an NBL note. You know, that's probably our first mention of the NBL in at least a couple of weeks. But a WNBA note, and the LA Sparks won the 2016 WNBA championship, defeating the Minnesota Lynx, and it was a pretty dramatic win, Ben.
Yeah, it was the series title 2-2, and it came down basically just before the buzzer. So yeah, it seemed like a really good series, and that, and very competitive. So
exchanged a couple of potential game winners before the Sparks got it with 3 seconds left on a putback. 3 seconds, no timeout. The Lynx had to basically fire from midcourt, and it not a terrible shot from midcourt, actually.
It was pretty close.
I think Sparks fans may have held their breath on that one because it was, look, I mean, it did miss wide, but it was fairly true. You know, it wasn't it hit the backboard at least, so it was not too far off target. But congratulations to the Sparks and Candace Parker. Candace Parker, of course, dedicating it to her late college coach, the great Hall of Famer, Pat Summitt. Pat Summitt passed away, was it last year? Let me just, again, we've got Wikipedia open so I can tell you. No, actually, earlier this year. It was only in June Pat Summitt passed away, only aged 64. She had early onset Alzheimer's. That's right, I remember reading about that, very, very sad. But she was the college coach, and it's a very emotional victory on top of that for everything else for Candace Parker. But hats off to them. And, you know, there is that stigma against the WNBA, the occasional sexist remarks being thrown around about the league, but obviously world-class athletes. And, yeah, the league seems to be gaining some popularity in recent years, and I guess dramatic wins like that will definitely help raise the profile of the sport, you know, and get people really fired up about it.
Yeah, you know, they've got some really good talent really starting to really come through. So hopefully in the next 5 years, you know, it'll become a lot more popular.
Obviously very, very accomplished on the world stage as well with the women's Team USA. And as far as our women's national team, the Opals, it turned out to be the swan song for Penny Taylor. She plays for the Mercury, I believe, Phoenix Mercury.
Yep, Phoenix Mercury. Yep.
And it was her last. This last Olympics was her last Olympics, and also her last WNBA season as well. So unfortunately, couldn't end up with a title or medal in either place in either tournament, but still obviously a great career for Penny Taylor as well, one of the greats in women's basketball in Australia.
Yeah, I think she has won a championship, a WNBA championship though, at least one.
I just meant going out.
I know. I just wanted to make know that she has just won one. So
we'll just take a look at that. She's a three-time WNBA champion, 2007, 2009, 2014, and career highlights and awards. She has a gold medal at the 2006 World Championships in Brazil, and silver in Athens and Beijing, and bronze in the World Championships in China in 2002 and Turkey 2014. So the Opals have done pretty well. I mean, they have medals. The Boomers don't. Although they were so damn close this year in the 2016 in Brazil, getting that medal, and that call still bugs me. But NBA officiating that came into the Olympics, damn it.
Yeah.
But hats off to Penny Taylor and her career, and of course Candace Parker and the Sparks and the Lynx for putting on a show in Game 5. You know, so I guess both the NBA and WNBA finals went to the limit this year.
Yeah, this is good to see.
So, you know, in lieu of your favorite team winning in a blowout, then I suppose a dramatic win is also just as good. Again, as long as you're not a Lynx fan, but I guess can't be too disappointed with they gave it their all and one win, 1 point away one basket away from the championship. But yep, if that end up further raising the profile of WNBA, so much the better. And I must admit, I probably don't pay enough attention to it as a basketball fanatic. But if that's the kind of competition that's happening these days, maybe I should be, you know, spending more time looking at that in college as well as the NBA. So there you go. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 181 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we encourage you to subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher, the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices. Just search NLSC podcast and we're there. Or hey, keep streaming it on the NLSC as long as you're tuning in and enjoying it. That's the main thing. Keep hitting us up with those topic suggestions, of course, in the forum and the comments section. If you have anything you'd like to say in response to the episodes, any comments, we also love to hear those. So share those again in the forum or the comments section of the news post. Also, keep in touch with us on social media. You can connect with us on Twitter at the NLSC, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games.
Before we go, I got two quick things. I want to thank Mario for his services on the EA forums. He's officially stepped down. He's been working on those forums and with the community managers and that for the last 11 years. He's had his Cluminati report and all that stuff.
Yep.
Got to attend a few events with you as well.
Indeed, yes, I met Mario.
And yeah, just wanted to thank him for his services and, you know, he was a great help for me and Haval when we were getting out, learning the ropes and stuff for what we need to do. And yeah, it's a shame to see his role and his time come to an end there. So I wanted to again, thank him for that.
Absolutely. And great, great work and great guy. As I said, a lot of fun meeting him at a few events and hanging out. And since, before we do wrap up, also should mention, condolences to the family of Cody Sawatzki, producer on NBA Jam on Fire Edition, unfortunately lost his battle with leukemia this week, and it was also his birthday 4 days after mine, in fact. So that was very shocking news to hear. Thoughts and condolences to his family. Great guy, and certainly contributed to a great game, you know, on Fire Edition. You know, rest in peace, yeah. Cody.
Our condolences.
But that is going to do it for episode number 181 of the NLSC podcast. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And have a great weekend.